Hello, everybody. This is Mark Boyle of The Mark Boyle Show. And first of all, this will be on Sunday in broadcast on KYAH and KNAK in Utah, Utah's Talk Authority. And so the following Tuesday will be Christmas. And I want to get this kind of out of the way, do my housekeeping, and tell everyone that listens to the show, Merry Christmas. I hope you have an awesome Christmas. I love Christmas time. Not a big fan of going out and going into debt for Christmas because that's not what it is to me. But it's a great time of year just to be nice. And it's always a good excuse to be nice once in a while. And we use Christmas for that, which is sad. But it's Christmas. So I was going to try to keep the show completely upbeat and be all happy and all that for Christmas. But unfortunately, with things going on in the news and the media, and everything around us in our world, it's kind of hard to take that upbeat attitude and move into the new year because the economic forecast and everything for the new year is not looking good if you listen to economists. You know, I'm not talking about the media that'll sit there and say it's not raining when it's actually raining on you, or they'll say it's not really storming when it's raining because they consider a storm only snow or a hurricane. So they wordsmith things in a way to where you might not think it's actually a storm, but it really is. So you have to watch economists. I like, you know, Trends in the News by Gerald Celente and Peter Schiff. They drill down into numbers quite a bit more. So it's an awesome way to get your financial news. So trying to be upbeat, it's not going to happen. Sorry. But I was looking at this story on the news, and there's this, I mean, it has to do with the LGBT community, and now they've added P and Q. Well, we all know that the Q stands for queer now, so I guess they can use that word, we cannot. But the P stands for pedophilia. And pedophilia, if you look it up in the dictionary, is considered a psychiatric disorder. And it's believed to have occurred in humans throughout history. It was said that Pope Leo had vetoed a measure that cardinals should restrict the number of boys that they kept for pleasure. And so you're like, what? So here's a big church at the time accepting pedophilia. It was well known that pedophilia was running rampant in Roman times. So it's not just today in America and, oh my God, where did this come from? There have been sick, twisted psychos, basically, since it's considered a psychiatric disorder, running around. I mean, it makes you wonder. It's like, oh my God, what is going on? So it's always gone on, and it seems like it's always been accepted and popular. So there's a story in the news, like, you know, it's where is this kid's mother? And he's an 11-year-old boy that performs in New York at gay clubs that serve alcohol. And I guess it's okay because if it was a young girl in strip clubs, they would be shut down and all arrested. But since it's a boy and it's part of the P in pedophilia with the LGBTQ community, it seems to be being overlooked. And there's a drug that he's taking as an 11-year-old boy. That's, you know, it makes date rape drugs look very mild, like aspirin. And, you know, here we are being lectured to by the thought police that Baby It's Cold Outside is an inappropriate song because it has to do with maybe a roofie or something like that. And yet here's this boy in New York at 11 years old performing and getting paid for these erotic type dances for this gay community. And they haven't been shut down yet. Now, I'm sure that there's a big stink on the news. They might look into it a little bit more. But, you know, all the media, all the lamestream psycho media is sitting there and using words like this boy Desmond is amazing. Look at him dance. Isn't this awesome? And he's so funny and his videos are so cute. And it's like, are you kidding me? Where have our values gone in this country? And you know, there's a lot of scriptures that back that up, that when we become so disgusting as a people, that we'll probably be wiped off the earth, just like it has happened so many times in history. And that might have been why Rome finally fell, because of just the depravity going on in Rome at the time that, you know, maybe it was God, maybe it was somebody, but, you know, they were just basically rubbed out, you know. So Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, were, you know, taken out. And so you look at America and all, I guess I'll just say all religion aside, if you just look at this as a morality issue, based on your basic common sense, even if you're an atheist, you know, you would have to wonder, like, we don't do certain things to, you know, animals, you know, because it's cruel. We have an inherent ability to understand right and wrong and what is disgusting and what is not. So you don't even need to factor in religion to look at this and go, we have not gone down a slippery slope. We have fallen off the edge. And that happened a long time ago. And now here it's being mainstreamed and turned into a YouTube phenomenon, this boy Desmond, that, you know, I feel sorry for, because he's probably so drugged up and been raised by these pathetic parents that allowed this to happen in his life. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think these parents and it might offend somebody, but, you know, when you take a little girl like JonBenet Ramsey and you dress her up and you make her be a model and a beauty queen, she's a kid. Leave her alone. Let her develop her own personality over time. Don't put them in this box. And like this kid Desmond's parents, you know, it's like, oh, here, go do this. And we'll get all these YouTube hits and we'll make a lot of money. And it's like, how disgusting are you as a parent? And really these beauty queen things are just as bad, you know, as anything else. You know, you're taking these little kids and you're parading them around as a, you know, it's a sex symbol. I don't care. You know, we all sit there and say that, you know, us guys, oh, you know, we read the articles in Playboy, and anyone with any common sense goes, yeah, right. There's good articles in there, but there's good articles in Popular Mechanics, and we don't prescribe to that sometimes, but oh, we got the Playboy. So it's sexual in nature. Beauty pageants have always been considered sexual in nature. You know, they parade them around in swimsuits, which, you know, are nice to look at, like a sunset. But the reality is women for years have complained about it, you know, diminishing the value of a woman and only, you know, looking at her body. And there's like one question at the very end. It's like, what would you do to save the world? And it's like, oh, world peace. And that's like the last question. And the whole other 2 hours of this pageant is all about beauty and grace and sexuality. So we are not immune to this as a society any more than Rome was, or back in the 1600s or the 1500s. I'm sure it goes back a long, 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 long way. But what bothers me is right now where I live in this time zone of history, and I'm looking at my country that has become so perverse and disgusted. And so we look at this stuff on YouTube and everybody in the media is like, this is great. He's amazing. What a celebrity. Ain't that cute? And I guess they're afraid to really call it what it is, which is, you know, child porn and pedophilia. Because the LGBTQXYZ community will freak out. Oh, well, too bad. You know, we're not a mob rule kind of society. We're a republic. And so there's a difference. So I'm looking at this story thinking, oh my God, you know, and I actually even look back in history and stuff like that. And yeah, America's always been, you know, slowly sliding down this slippery slope of morality. You know, because it takes morality to keep a republic like America and the way it was set up to maintain. So we're collapsing under this weight of degenerate garbage, and we're buying into it, and the media is just spoon feeding it to the masses. And because school systems are so god awful that, you know, they're teaching children some of the worst things imaginable. And really, thank God I am not a parent of a school age child. And I haven't been, you know, forced, I guess, to raise any of my grandchildren, because I would probably be in prison for shooting somebody at the school board when I see some of this disgusting garbage go, you know, that's being taught to our children. It has nothing to do with reading, which is a great thing to learn, because if you didn't really pay attention to math, as you get older, if you're good at reading, you can always read a book about math. You can read a book about marketing. You can read a book and learn another language. So reading is very key to, you know, our development as human beings. And then there's reading, writing, and arithmetic, which they used to say the three R's, which kind of made you wonder. It's like, you people are supposed to be educating my kids and you can't spell. But I guess it was a catchy little phrase, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, which one starts with a W and one starts with an A, but whatever. You know, they don't even teach those anymore. You know, the math is I was talking to one of our installers that has children in school, and he's like, I can't even help my kids with math because it's this weird new, you know, Agenda 21 Common Core math. And he goes, I don't even understand it. And he is really good at math, basic understanding of math. You know, the math that may save your life someday, that kind of math, not Common Core. So they're not learning arithmetic at all. They're learning, I don't know, garbage. And then writing, you know, writing skills nowadays are non-existent. You know, I guess you could turn in your tweets and your Facebook posts and go, look, you know, I've used this emoji 4 times and it says exactly what I was trying to say. And I'm sure they'll get an A because, you know, they tried. So this is what's happening to our youth. And it's just wrong, I guess. I mean, there's other words that are more colorful adjectives that I could throw in there, but I would probably get censored or beeped out. So I won't. But it's depravity of the worst kind. You know, Jesus said, suffer unto the children to come to me. Jesus loved children. He wasn't a pedophilia about it. He just loved children because they're precious. And now we're allowing our government, the government that we have elected, to allow pedophilia in the state of New York and probably so many other places. And then when you talk about it, like Pizzagate, that was a big issue where they were using children for sex. Everyone's like, oh, that's a conspiracy. And they just pumped it out on the news. And then we as humans are so busy, you know, like living life and making it around the block one more time, you know, without, you know, getting in trouble from our benevolent government, that we can't pay attention. And the media is just like, oh, don't believe him. He's a loon. You know, believe us. Desmond's amazing. He's 11. And look, he's got a career. And he's basically dressing up like a little slut in front of these nightclubs. And so I don't get it. I just do not get it, how we as a people allow it to happen. I can see how big business would push this, because if there's a dollar to be made, they'll do it and they'll stay within the framework of the law or they'll get shut down. But then there is no framework to the law when it comes to some things. So how do we allow this to happen? You know, we're supposed to be involved. We're supposed to be ever vigilant. Well, it's not just going out and voting every 4 years and go, I did my duty. No, it's being ever vigilant, like forever vigilant, to take care of our country, because our country is basically going down the tubes. Just, you know, like when you watch a toilet flush and then you see it start to swirl and that little last little bit of toilet paper is hanging on. That's our constitution right now. That's it. Going down the toilet. That's our morality. That's our values. Being flushed by the media and these corrupt politicians that don't care about nothing. And I'm not just talking about liberals or Democrats. Republicans are just as sick and twisted as any of the other, you know, independents. They're all in it for themselves. And you and I, well, it's too damn bad. You know, you don't like what's going on? We'll have an election in 4 years and maybe you can vote us out of office. As if that has ever helped, ever. So, you know, we don't have true clean elections anymore because there's so much hacking of that. You know, you have the media and politicians on both aisles saying we should do away with the Electoral College because, you know, one person, one vote. No, that's not the way the contract was written. I'm sorry if you don't like it. Amend the Constitution, but don't inundate me with garbage media until so many people think that it's a good idea that they just shove it down our throat. And then it must have been a good idea because we all allowed it to happen. Is this what you want to happen? I mean, you know, we got a new year coming up. Maybe we could do something proactive instead of just sitting around going, oh, what's going on? So it's pathetic. So I'm going to take a break and maybe calm down, because, you know, these issues that I'm seeing in the news and happening around our world, not just in America, but the world. You can see some big lid being clamped down and they're trying to shovel us all into this trap that they have set. And, you know, 90% of the people on the planet are falling for the fake bait inside the trap. And some of the sane ones that are trying to not get trapped under this ginormous lid that they want to put down on the people of the world, you know, that are smart, they're trying to get out. Well, it's not doing much good because, you know, you have social media now censoring things, you know, taking people that just talk normally about issues and are concerned about maybe values are just being kicked to the curb by clowns like Mark Zuckerberg and Google, and YouTube is owned by Google, and Google is owned by the Alphabet Soup Company or Alphabet, you know, corporation. We don't even know who they are or who funds them or anything about them. We just always mention Google, but it's owned by a conglomerate called Alphabet. Who are they? You know, and who are they to set the values of their viewers? But, you know, they're controlling the media on social media by taking people off the platform and not giving them, you know, recognition. When you type in a search like, who should I vote for this election? They're going to push all this stuff in front of you. And that is more manipulative of an election than anything Russia could have done if they spent $500 million on screwing with our election, which I think the total is now a whopping $4,000. I mean, most small businesses will spend $4,000 in Facebook ads. If it works so damn good, they would have money so next year they could spend $1 million on Facebook ads. So, you know, $4,000 in Facebook propaganda or whatever is not going to sway the election any more than if you spent $4,000 in a year on advertising, would it make your business skyrocket? Well, I mean, we all understand business. It's not going to happen. So it's garbage. And so they're taking voices away from the picture to where when you put your ear to the door and you're like, what's going on over there? You know, who should I vote for? You're not hearing all of it. So that's manipulating an election. So these big social media companies, you know, I don't know, should they be regulated as monopolies? I have no idea, you know, the constitutionality of that. But really, we're the ones that, I mean, if everybody just stopped going to Facebook and just went, this is an invasion of privacy and I can't stand it anymore and quit, it would probably go bankrupt, just like MySpace did. But, you know, we think, well, we have so many people use it, you couldn't get that many people involved. No, you know what? All the kids that are, you know, probably I would say 16, 17 and under are not on Facebook anymore. They've all switched to another platform where their mom and dad can't look over their shoulders and see what they're doing. So who's keeping Facebook afloat? Must be the demographic group, maybe I would say from 21 to 65, you know, the people that should be offended by this stuff. We're the ones supporting them, buying their stupid ads and doing all this stuff. So really, it wouldn't be that hard if that demographic group actually had some values and morals and liked privacy and wanted to get the whole story and not have it, you know, micromanaged to us. We could just stop watching it, just stop being on it. Just, you know, I pump out a lot of stuff on Facebook. Rarely do I comment on anything because it's like junk mail nowadays. If you can get it out there, people might go watch a video or listen to a podcast of yours, and then you can talk the truth. But if you have your content protected somewhere else on your website, then they can't hack that and screw with it and kick you off the curb. So I'm just posting videos that, you know, are not derogatory. And so therefore they're being put out there. But it's no different than if you tried to put your video on ABC or NBC and they go, no, we don't like you. That's what they do. But see, since it's free and it's Facebook and I have a big following, I can put these videos out there. And when they click on it, they're taken to my website or they're taken to my podcast or they're taken to another one. And that person gets a little SEO juice, as it's called, and it helps them. And then you can actually read the article outside of Facebook propaganda sphere. So I'm going to calm down a little bit. So, I had a question. It wasn't sent in or via voicemail or video or anything like that. But, just one of my friends in real life, you know, not the virtual friends, but somebody I actually talk to and shake hands with and get to know. He was like, you know, basically like, oh my God, Mark, why are you showing so many Alex Jones videos? Because see, we all know that Alex Jones is a bad word. And so, you know, even sane people will sit there and they will hear the word Alex Jones and it triggers something in their mind. They're like, oh, Alex Jones, I've heard he's crazy. I don't know. Have you watched any of his videos? No, he's crazy. It's like, have you listened to any of his shows? No, he's crazy. But really, when you actually watch his program, yeah, does he get excited and passionate about things he's talking about? Sure. Does he scream a little bit and get mad and worked up about things? Sure. That's a passionate debate. I don't have a problem with that. But the reason I show a lot of his videos is because, first of all, I've tried to put live feeds on my prepperguy.com website to where you can go to maybe watch Fox News's live feed throughout the day and get all the content and just have it running in the background, kind of like the news, but it's their live feed. So it's a little bit less censored and goofy and stuff. And you can't do that. You have to sign up and give them money and do all this. Whereas Alex Jones, he has a live feed link. I can paste that into my website and his show, whatever's going on, whether it's David Knight or any of his guests, Peter Schiff, he had Rush Limbaugh filling in for him for a while the other day. You know, he talks about Michael Savage and all this. It runs throughout the day and you can just click on that feed and watch it live as it's going on. The only thing they kind of cut out of it is, you know, the people walking around the background getting a coffee or something like that. So I can do that for free without kissing the ring of some other corporation that thinks their content is so valuable that I have to join their little group. That's why I put Alex Jones videos on there. And if you're watching his video and his feed, you see his paperwork on the desk. He talks about things in the news, you know, and he uses facts to talk about them. Does he get passionate about it? Yeah. But you know what? He's not just making stuff up as he goes. So that's the question of, you know, like, oh my God, why do I listen to Alex Jones? So I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Shelby Gallagher here, letting you know the second book in my book series, A Great State, is set for release on October 28th. Book 2, The Aftermath, is a continuation of the story from The Divide, where our main character, Julie, a single mother, preps for a collapse. Her story is one of overcoming, strength, and prepping as her community crumbles around her. Sound like recent headlines? Book 2 continues the story with tragic details of what life will be like for those who don't prepare. Pre-order your copy now at my website, agreatstate.com.
All right, so one of the things I like to talk about a little bit is politics, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I'm looking at some of the stuff going on within the politics realm, and everyone's saying that Trump's foundation is dissolving, and with Michael Flynn is that being sentenced and all that. And the whole thing with the situation that really makes me wonder is I guess they can actually indict a ham sandwich and sentence it, because this was a non-issue. And what I think about Michael Flynn is that, you know, he was shown to be in his interviews that he had misstated something, more of an misunderstanding. He's like, well, now that you bring this up to me, yes, then I guess you can say that it was a misunderstanding and therefore it came across as a lie. And I think the man has so much integrity that it was more for his morality and his values to say, well, then I guess I did lie. Not that he meant to, you know, it was more of a, not even an omission. It was just, well, now that you explained to me that I said this and then I answered your question this way, if you think that is considered lying, then yes, I lied to you. But it's not like where a person lies for a very specific reason to be dishonest. So I think that's why Flynn chose to accept the fact that he had lied. And people are now like, oh, Flynn lied. Well, I think that's a different interpretation of the word lying. He was just shown to make some missteps and be in a career military guy. He's like, the buck stops with me. If you're saying that is perceived as a lie, then yes, I guess I lied. What really irritates me about Michael Flynn and the other guy that's being charged for murder, It's obviously all just a witch hunt, and we don't want soldiers acting out and murdering people, but if it's in the line of duty and it's in self-defense, then that's different than murder. That's actually, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say anything about killing bad guys. So once again, we see this convoluted, you know, scrambled mess, and it's all, you know, that everyone hates Trump, and anyone that, you know, has talked to Trump on the telephone is probably suspect now. Not because there's a reason why they want to investigate all these people. The only reason is they hate Trump. And, you know, I'm not military, but I've read and studied and seen enough and know enough soldiers and Marines and stuff to know that you don't leave someone behind. And so I look at all this and I'm wondering, this is obviously a dog and pony show, what they're doing to Michael Flynn and this other Navy SEAL. And it's like, where are all the veterans and the retired military guys? Because, you know, we all see that mindless expression on Facebook and social media that when that day comes to stand, will you stand with me? Well, Michael Flynn now is probably wondering, where are all these people that served under him all these years that he's either saved their lives or taught them valuable lessons or has helped them immensely in their life? Where are they now? You know, it's like all of a sudden, like you watch the animal kingdom, and sure, all of the elephants circle around the baby elephants and all that. But if one of them lions or cheetahs get through and start killing the baby, the elephants all just walk away. So they're kind of protecting their own. But then once it starts happening, they just kind of walk away. It's like, well, man, poor old Bob, you know, he got eaten by a lion today. And there's no feeling of responsibility with animals. So when the baby bird falls out of the nest and gets eaten by the cat, the mom and dad bird are just like, wow, suck to be him. But we as humans aren't supposed to turn our back on those that we care about. You know, we all say, well, I would take a bullet for my kid. I would run out in front of traffic for my child. And that's because we're not animals. We're humans. So where is this loyalty amongst the ranks, to where people are not just raising holy hell about this Michael Flynn thing? So you have to ask yourself, you know, I'm not calling for, you know, an armed revolution, but where is Michael Flynn's support system? Where are all these people that are supposed to stand when that time comes? You know, it's no different than what happened to Lavoie Finnegan. You know, all these people were supposed to be there to protect him. And then they let him walk into a trap because they were so distracted by all the federal bureaucracy and the FBI and the cheap veiled threats and then the media. Well, come to find out, it wasn't a cheap veiled threat. They actually shot a man, and then they covered that up too because no one was there. No one was filming. No one was following. Nothing was going on. So once again, you know, it's happening. You got a guy like Michael Flynn or just Green Beret guy, and then you see it in the news, and even Fox News, they're so complicit in these things because they'll sit there and go, well, you know, we don't want our soldiers killing people. So when they get to the bottom of that, if the man committed a crime and actually murdered this terrorist, then yeah, he should do life in prison. No, he shouldn't. He was put in a bad situation, and his job there was to kill people and break stuff, because that's why we send the military into these countries to fix a problem. And so if he was put in a position to where, through all of the other things that fell through the cracks, now this guy is released, and then all of a sudden, what's he supposed to just pull him over like a cop and go, hey, buddy, you're violating your parole? He's a terrorist. You know, it's like, I so don't care. And neither does 90% of America give a crap about a terrorist that was released from Gitmo because he was a terrorist, and then picked up in Afghanistan because he was a terrorist, and then let go, probably because he was a terrorist and had sympathy from some yo-yo. And then all of a sudden he gets shot, and it's like the big crime was this SEAL shot somebody. No, the big crime was all of the straws that kept adding up that finally broke the camel's back, and this terrorist ends up dead, which is probably a better place for him because now he's there with all of his virgins. So I consider it missionary work when you shoot one of them. And so what about the people that let him go? What about the people in the courts and the judges that let this guy walk from Gitmo or wherever he came from? What about the media screwing this all up and making him seem like just another victim in America's imperialist goals? It's like, hey, we're there at war. You know, if you don't like it, Congress, then stop funding it and bring our guys home. But stop blaming soldiers and trying them for murder when they're killing bad guys, which is the whole damn point. You know, it's not even like police shooting a suspect, because there's a different standard for peace officers as opposed to sheriffs, as opposed to FBI, as opposed to marshals, as opposed to military. And so they treat it all with this myopic view that this poor terrorist got shot and he wasn't read his freaking Miranda rights or something. Who cares? And why is this guy looking at life in prison? And like his wife said, she goes, it would be funny if it wasn't so dangerously scary that he could be put in prison. You know, so I think a lot more people were to blame for this final pulling of the trigger than the soldier itself. It was everyone that let this guy walk from day one by not completing the mission back in Desert Storm, for all I care, all the way to the minute that guy pulled the trigger. It was not his fault. And if you want to put any blame on him, start at the beginning and put the blame everywhere along the way until we get back to the last guy that took action. And if there's any blame left to go around, then maybe he can share a little bit of it. So that's not the point of this rant. My point is, it's like there, I don't know how many retired and veterans there are still alive living in the United States, but I think it's a big enough contingent that if they started marching on Washington and really getting in their face in these town hall meetings and actually showing up at these senators and these congresspeople's homes locally and started not being as psychopathic, you know, as, you know, these, you know, Antifa groups and stuff. But I mean, going there and going, hey, we want some answers. Why are you persecuting this man for doing nothing? And why are you after Michael Flynn for something that had nothing to do with this Russia investigation? And then you're putting him in jail and ruining his life over a misunderstanding that you guys entrapped him into. And then when they go, well, you know, we're working the process. It's like, no, not a good enough excuse. I'm sorry. Where are the thousands and thousands and thousands of veterans that could make a difference? And I'm not talking about the guys that become talking heads on Fox that serve. I'm talking about you and I, citizens. You're a veteran. That man was your general at one time, and you're leaving him on the battlefield and tuck-tailing and running when you could be continuing the mission of protecting him. But no, everybody wants the media and the courts and Congress and these fake hearings, this kangaroo court, to get to the bottom of it. And then if it doesn't work out right, I'll write my congressman. I think we're past writing congressmen. I mean, you know, the founding fathers wrote England. It was called the Declaration of Independence. And before that, they wrote them a few more letters and said, hey, you better deal with this. And then we had a tea party. And then they said, hey, you better deal with this. And then finally, they sent a letter of Declaration of Independence and said, we're going to deal with it. And the king probably said, oh, you can't do that. But you know what? We did. So why don't you guys do something? Come up with a proactive game plan and help Flynn and all these soldiers that are being unjustly accused, instead of listening to the talking heads and some yo-yo dying, you know, liberal that was, you know, in the military going, well, no, I always thought he was a little bit hot-headed. Well, it's anecdotal. And that becomes the talking point for the left. And then all of a sudden, well, we have Marines or Army guys or soldiers that are saying that, you know, this guy shouldn't have done it. You have two or three, maybe disgruntled jerkweeds that have an issue with this Navy SEAL, because actually he was, you know, more aggressive and more assertive and actually did his job because he wanted to fulfill his mission and get home alive, you know, whereas maybe you were just a desk jockey, you know. So these people that are on the news that are talking crap about these soldiers committing, you know, murder, which is damn near impossible when you're on a battlefield, and Michael Flynn, as if they're the only evidence, but they're the only evidence you're going to see on the media. Now, I talked about that earlier. You know, this social media crap, especially Facebook, is not the youth that don't have a clue. It's older people demographics now. All the kids have left Facebook. They don't even like Facebook. They have new social platforms we haven't even heard about that they're sharing all their sexting messages to and stuff outside of our sphere of influence on them. So they're not on Facebook anymore. So Facebook and all that BS is coming from you and I, our age group, and we're allowing it to happen and we're supporting it. You know, I hear people talk bad about Google all the time. Google this and Google that, and Google's selling all of our information. And then we'll turn around and us creators, video creators, content creators, post creators, Facebook post creators, we'll sit there and word it just right so we get the Google SEO, so it gets shared, so it gets seen. Well, then we're part of the problem. We don't need to be on Facebook that damn much. And really, anything you say on Facebook, no one really cares because it's just a meme we're reading through. What about real action? What about real calls to action? You know, instead of a click this and buy my book, I mean a real call to action. Why aren't you helping these people? Because you served with them. You wouldn't leave them on the battlefield. Why are you leaving them on this battlefield? Because the enemies, foreign and domestic, and we talked about that in one of the episodes, that the enemies that are domestic are far harder to fight than the ones that are foreign. And we have enemies in this country that are ruining Trump. They're ruining Michael Flynn. And so many other people that are being ruined and thrown under the bus. Kavanaugh. All of this. And we sit back and watch it as if it's entertainment on TV while we're absorbing the news and letting it roll over us. And then we sit there and go, wow, I wish somebody would, you know, do something about that. You know, I'm trying and I'm not even a soldier. I'm just a pathetic guy. So if you want to make a change, start learning things, not how to play Google's game or Facebook's game, but how to change things. Get out there and change stuff. So I'm just curious. It's like, where are all the patriots? Because Michael Flynn is being screwed. Donald Trump is being screwed. And yeah, we can show up at the rallies all we want. But you know what? During this midterm election, I think everybody stayed home because we elected a bunch of socialists. And we're that close to the edge of just total collapse. The economy, everything. And so we can sit there and believe the smoke that's being blown up our skirts by the media. But the reality is, if you really drill into the numbers and you really start looking at things, you're going to find out we are really, really, really close to a crumbling precipice. And we're putting a lot of faith in the fact that these politicians know what they're doing, you know. So, you know, that's my rant. It pisses me off. I don't know how to word it right without just really, you know, maybe having an interview with someone else to where we could feed on each other. But you kind of get an idea of what I'm thinking here. And I'm wondering, where is America's patriotism? Where is our morality, like we talked about in the last segment? I'm going to take a break. I got to calm back down again, you know. So I don't want to swear. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to be like, you know, some of the people. And I'm not good enough at articulating to be as outspoken as Alex Jones. But I think you can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm wondering, where is our morality in this country? Where is our patriotism? And where are our patriots? And where are our religious leaders? The real ones, the ones that actually help us become better people. Where do they all go? I know all the not the politicians, but the religious people, they've all signed up for 501c3s so they can get that tax break. Well, if you really believe in what you're doing, a tax break really doesn't matter. Get the true word out. But because they're 501c3s, see, they can't talk to you and I about political things. So they can't help guide us through the dark valley of the darkness, because they'll lose their 501c3 and then by golly, they'll have to pay taxes. Oh my God, just like everyone else on this country, you know. So where are our religious leaders other than hiding behind a 501c3? Now it's like, oh, you can be a pedophile and it's okay. We'll find a scripture that we can warp around, you know, what God really thinks about this to fit you into our congregation so you can pay us money. That's where they all went. They all went to the bank. Okay, I'm going to take a break.
Hi, this is John Jeffers inviting you to listen to my show, The Jeffers Brief. You know, on The Jeffers Brief, we discuss topics of interest and concerns for preppers and patriots. You can only find us on the Compto Radio Network on podbean.com or KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Hope you join me and we'll talk to you then.
You know what? Let's talk a little bit about nutrition, because I can usually be happy about that to a point. I don't know how much time I have left. I'll have to edit this down to an hour. And usually that's hard to do, but now it's going to really be hard. So I was looking through some stories and I'm just going to read them off to you. And then we'll see if we can find some kind of common thread in all this. So excess body weight responsible for nearly 4% of cancer worldwide. So body weight has to do with cancer. Fighting obesity could be as plain as dirt. So that was one where they were talking about, clay and how clay can absorb fat molecules. So I guess, you know, we should all eat dirt. Correlation between obesity and income has only developed in the past 30 years. Okay, so there's a correlation between obesity and income. And then there's a gene that lets you eat as much as you want and promises against obesity. Okay, so I was going to kind of talk about each of these stories, but they're so stupid that I'm not going to. But they're all talking about obesity and being overweight. And so you can sit there and say, well, you know, in retrospect, most people that are overweight did get cancer. So I guess the cancer was caused because they were overweight. That seems to be the first story. Eating dirt and clay. Sure, a lot of things absorb fat molecules. Dawn breaks up fat. Am I going to drink Dawn dish detergent? I don't think so. But see, they went out there and they found something and they go, oh, look how simple that is. So, and then the other ones with income, you know, being, part of it. Well, first of all, most poor people, you know, get so much, you know, not all of them, but get a lot of, you know, food stamps and WIC and their EBT cards. And then they use it to buy potato chips and stuff. So they have the money, you know, just because they're poor, they're still buying food. And if you see most poor people are highly overweight and close to obese. And then one of them was saying, even the neighborhood you live in, you know, could affect your weight issues. So I guess if you live in an upscale neighborhood, maybe you jog more or you want to fit in with the Joneses. So you join a racquetball club. I don't know what the hell they're even talking about. But, you know, once again, they're trying to find a correlation in a sea of madness. And then when they grab it, they write a post on it, and then they throw all these hooks in there, and then they get you to read it, and then you're like, oh, that was really interesting. I think I'll buy his book, even though he's just grasping at straws. Did you know that 90 times out of 100 when it rains, the sky gets gray? So I guess rain is caused by gray skies, or not. You know, there's probably a more scientific reason, but I think, you know, all the research we've done, is every time it's rained, there's been gray clouds. It's the gray clouds. Has nothing to do with, you know, moisture droplets and high pressure and low pressure. No, it's that damn gray cloud. And then, you know, the gene, you know, so now they've found a gene that basically says you can eat and not become obese. So if you're not obese, then you're not going to die of cancer. But it's all BS. So all of these things have to do with people's weight issues. And it's a known fact that if you're eating a high carb diet, then you're getting what are called glycated proteins. And these proteins, they bind together, and it's from the glucose in your blood, the sugar, and it causes them to bind together. And then the mitochondria cannot, you know, break them down. It destroys the mitochondria, and then you end up with ROS and all these irreversible problems, because when those proteins and that bind together, they cross-link, and then the term is AGS. As you know, they call it aging or ages, but it's AGS, and they cannot be broken apart. That's it. And then the mitochondria cannot absorb them and clean them out, and it kills the mitochondria. So you're ending up with health issues because you're eating sugar. So I guess if the FDA actually had a brain, which they don't, then they would say, what we've found in all of our research with all of these stupid stories and thousands more just like them, that it seems like it is glycated proteins that are causing heart disease, hardening of the arteries, cataracts, premature aging, Alzheimer's, because there's thousands of articles that prove that. But then you would be bashing against your primary income source, which is big agri and carbohydrates. So they're not going to do that. And people will quote this crap to me all day long. Well, the FDA says. Now, most of these people I talk to are preppers and patriots. When have we ever listened to a thing the federal government said? In fact, if the federal government said it was raining right now, I would literally walk outside just to check. I believe them so little. But when it comes to diet, we just follow them like little sheeple. Oh, the FDA said. The FDA said I should eat my plate. The FDA said I should drink skim milk. The FDA said I should stay away from red meat. And they do it. And then they created an entire industry of dehydrated carbohydrates based on this junk science, all formulated by lying politicians. And then they act like I'm stupid because I won't buy food storage that's a bunch of dehydrated carbohydrates that I'm not going to eat because there's no fat in it. In fact, I'd rather eat a Snickers bar than a granola bar because it's better for you biochemically. And it has just as much carbohydrates in it, but it has real fat from peanuts. It has real stuff, antioxidants and fat from chocolate. So I'd be way better off eating a Snickers diet. But these groups that I get bashed on all the time because I won't, you know, support or advertise for dehydrated garbage. And you folks in Utah, you know, because Wise Food and all these food places all come from there. It's garbage. And you know where that garbage science comes from? It comes from the government. You don't even believe. You don't trust the government. When did anyone ever trust the government? So now the government shows up and says, you have an eating problem. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. I think I wouldn't just walk away from that conversation. I would run. So all of these stories are linked based on the fact that it's built on this model of junk science propagated by the FDA since the 50s. And they won't back down because they got way too much money invested in it and they get too much kickbacks. I'll just call them kickbacks because that's what they are, from big agri and well, they call it lobbying now and lobbyists and campaign finance. You know, so it's not really a kickback. It's just a favor that your buddy did by slipping $100,000 in your pocket. So we trust them about as far as we could throw a deuce at them. And yet we will follow their diet and argue with people that actually have a real diet idea, like ketogenic or carnivore, because you know, you have the keto diet and then inside the keto is the carnivore diet, like Dr. Barry said, because it's a subset inside of the ketogenic diet, which is just eat red meat, you know, eat high fat cheeses and stuff like that. So, and then ketogenic's got its other stuff. Yeah, you can eat some of that. And then there's paleo, which is just freaking nuts. So, you know, eat a caveman diet. Become caveman. Because you know what? If the world ends, what are you going to be eating? Pretty much anything you can shoot and cook. And most meat can be eaten raw if you can't cook it. So that's what you're going to be eating. You might forage around and find some plant life, but well, all big agri is going to fall apart if there's a SHTF, right? Ted, who's going to run the farms? Who's going to run the tractors? The lasers won't work to keep them fields nice and pretty, and they won't have the fertilizer to add the three nutrients it needs to be green and leafy for you. That way you'll be happy you're eating it because that looks pretty. So you're going to end up on a carnivore diet in a Tiotwaki SHTF situation. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be eating carnivore because that's what will be out there. You'll be lucky to find fish and meat. And you definitely will not be eating a plant-based diet because it doesn't grow indigenously anywhere. You might find some wild onions. Fine, chop them up and put them in your rabbit stew. You might find a tuber that you know you can eat that won't kill you. And you can cut that up kind of like and put it in your stew. But it'll be broken down because you cooked it in a soup. And you might get some nutrients out of it. But there's very little in this crap. And so you have to eat meat to survive. Not protein, meat. So this has all been skewed, and you can read in the news, and that was just the four or five that I found on a couple websites that, you know, there's thousands of stories just from last week on, you know, excess body weight causes cancer. No, glycated proteins and eating garbage causes cancer. Fighting obesity could be as easy as eating dirt or drinking liquid Dawn detergent because that breaks up fat really well too. So that's just a mindless, stupid comment story that probably was funded by the federal government and my tax dollars. So when did we start believing the FDA? Because, yeah, it's the Food and Drug Administration. And we're like, oh, yeah, they're noble. Yeah, okay. You got to look at where this information is coming from. And even though these articles are all written by, you know, scientists and doctors, they're being funded by the FDA, and if they don't follow the rules and toe the line, they will not get the grants. And some of them will get arrested if they even start talking about something that might help people, because Big Pharma will not like that at all, because they medicate people, they don't cure people. You'd be safer talking to a veterinarian about diet than a nutritionist, because veterinarians treat patients. And they don't medicate because there's no funding for medicating animals. So that's why usually you take your dog in, the first thing they ask is, what's your dog's diet? And you'll go, oh, you know, old Roy from Walmart. And say, yeah, no wonder he's sick. He's dying. Give him some meat. And well, I use Nature's Bounty. It's like a lot of meat and vegetables. It's like, yeah, so it's mostly, you know, synthetic fats and vegetables. Yeah, your dog is dying. You know, throw him a bone and he'll be healthy. So you would be better off going to a veterinarian than a nutritionist or some jerkweed doctor asking him why your blood levels are screwed up. Because they run those tests about once a year. And they go, ah, yeah, that's a little high. We'll check it again next year. Well, that's 365 days of potential death coming your way because they only check it once in a while. So there's, you know, you need to be in control. And these articles and many, many, many more, if you just scan through them, don't even waste your time reading them because they're garbage. And you just start seeing that they're going, well, you know, the reason it's raining is because there's a gray cloud. And you're like, oh, yeah. And I read somewhere that the darker the gray, the better the rain. You know, has nothing to do with atmospheric pressure all of a sudden. Now you're just going down some stupid rabbit hole based on some mindless analogy that is designed to distract you, to keep you from learning, to keep you from learning knowledge, you know, because you're not supposed to know things and therefore shut up and stop. Just read that article. Clay is good. Maybe we could learn how to eat it someday without getting, you know, what a sand colic. I guess that's what they want you to get, clay colic and, you know, gum up your intestines. I, you know, just drink Dawn. 5 or 6 drops of Dawn in your coffee every morning. It's just as stupid. So you can learn to do it right, or you can continue to read these things. And I used to do diet reviews, but I found out they were just, you know, all these diets are following the same BS. They're on the same bandwagon. Because no matter who creates a diet, if they deviate from the FDA guidelines, they will be in a lot of trouble. So you'll see them using different words, like they won't use the word treat or diagnose, because those words are death nails to, you know, people that, you know, like if I said, I have a diet and I think it'll help you treat your diabetes. Yeah, I'm not a licensed doctor, so I would go to jail for that. But I can tell you what I eat and how it's made me feel, because that's my business. If you want to follow it, hey, go ahead. You know, so you can read all these articles, but most of them are, you know, just grasping at straws, hyperbole. You know, it's just somebody wants to get published out there and they throw this out there. And it's like, you know, we've noticed that every time you get wet, it's because there was water. Oh, now I get it. You know, there's a million reasons why you could have gotten wet, and maybe water was the key, but it's really you. Most people that drown, did you know that like 75% of the people that have drowned throughout history is because they got water in their lungs? It had nothing to do with the fact that they were stupid and stuck their head in a bucket of water and breathed in, or fell into an ice cold river and then froze and then breathed in water. So it's partially true. When it rains, there's a gray cloud in the sky usually, but it doesn't get to the answer of what you're really looking for. Is what caused that gray cloud? And when it forms, will it be over me to where it will rain on me? And then you start getting the information. What causes that cloud to form? Oh, it's high pressure, low pressure. And you go, oh, okay. So when there's high pressure, I can expect this. See, farmers know all this. They've known this, Farmer's Almanac and stuff. They don't need a weatherman to go, look, gray clouds. We're going to get some rain. It's ridiculous. So I beat this dead horse enough. You know, I think the main takeaway from this is when you realize where most of this nutritional information comes from, that we absorb and accept as fact, has come from a federal government agency called the Food and Drug Administration, or Health and Human Services. See, they're all government, federal government. They don't care about you. And so they're politicians, they're bureaucrats, they're unelected yo-yo dines. And when did we start believing them? Because that would be like really getting your religious values from Cracker Jack box or the bathroom wall. We don't believe certain things in life, and we have grown to know from the beginning when the founding father said, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, that you cannot trust your government and they will always overstep their bounds. That's why they put the Second Amendment in there, because you don't trust politicians and bureaucrats that are unelected. Yet the entire prepper and patriot community is all just like, oh, the FDA said I should buy dehydrated carbohydrate. And I've heard podcasts where they actually interview experts about, you know, food storage, who was maybe in the military and that was his job to understand food and stuff. I've heard that on one of the podcasts that, you know, so he's just spewing the same stuff he was taught by the government. Now, when you talk to, you know, if you have an interview with a guy like Michael Hawk, who was a Green Beret and wrote the Green Beret survival book, he will tell you that 99% of all plant life on Earth will kill you if you eat it. That's your statistic. And that all meat is edible and consumable by humans, and you can even eat it raw. Now, that to me is like, holy crap, raw meat or any meat will not kill me. Most plants will kill me. Okay. Chuck that over there, because, you know, I'm not a botanist and I really don't care to be one. You know, so if you want to buy all these books on what plants you can eat, awesome. You know, but most plants were for medicine. That's why the medicine men knew plants. And they probably found out through trial and error that if you ate that plant and you consumed the root of that plant, it would kill you. But if you ate the leaves, it wouldn't kill you. But if you boiled the root, it wouldn't kill you. But if you boiled the leaves, they would kill you. And they figured all that out because most medicine is designed as a poison to kill the virus that's bothering you or the ailment. So they use plants, and that's why it's good to know plants. But if you're going to eat them for food, well, first of all, you're just wasting energy chewing because there's very little calories in it. And the nutrition that's in it, you really can't get to because we don't have the enzyme to break it down. So do you even need vitamin A through Z? I doubt it, because if you ate those plants raw that had those, your body will not process it. It just goes right through like kernels of corn. Not to get gross, but we've all seen them on the other end of the spectrum. So your body can't break down cellulose. So you're being fed lies. Quite literally, pun intended, you're being fed